End the agenda. Mac resigned today. We all know that. So we need to have elections. Do I have a second? Or could somebody make a motion?
I'll make a motion to readjust the agenda.
Thank you, Lori.
Sorry.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
He will die too.
Okay. So wait. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Oh, Steve. Steve went out. Okay. All right.
Where would you like to put the elections, Lauren, in your motion?
Do we want to do it immediately, like right after the welcome, or do we want to do or after public comment, maybe?
I'd like to do it now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a second? Oh, yeah, we did second it. Okay. Okay. All right.
There is a quorum, and there are four people. It appears that Steve is coming back in.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
Very sorry.
Hey, Steve.
We are modifying the agenda to elect the chairman.
So does the vice chair
who's in charge here
escalate to chair, or is it?
If the vice chair wishes to become chair, that is a possibility. But it is not required. So if the vice chair would like to remain vice chair, she is able to do so.
Any
recommendations?
There can be nominations. It is an open election process like you all did back in February.
And we're having to do this because of
mine. Mac McNeely resigned today. Effective today. And so Mac McNeely is no longer on the planning board. And he was chair.
Yeah.
So you all should have received an email to that effect this morning.
Yeah.
I guess I did too.
So could I just ask a question?
Yes.
Does anyone want to have a burning desire to be the chairman?
I know. Not particularly, but unless somebody else would like to do it.
You want to do it?
I don't know if I'm the best, but I mean, I can do it, but maybe somebody else could do a better job. I don't know.
Well, we're all in here to support each other.
I know.
Okay, I see. I got your email on that now.
Yeah, see, I have.
I would nominate Sandy. I know you're the vice chair. I have complete confidence.
I can hopefully get better at it. Thank you, Lori. Any other nominations from the floor? I still don't see it. Can someone make a motion that, wait a minute.
Do we have a second?
We can do it together? Oh, yeah, okay, second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
All right.
I heard a railroad whistle.
You may need to speak up a little
bit. I'm sorry. My husband says the same thing. I talk too soft, and then I yell at him, and I'm too loud. All right. Vice chair. Do we have nominations from the floor for vice chair?
I'll nominate Kim Sanders. him for last year.
Okay. Is there a second? I'll second. Just for the sake of... Okay. Any more nominations from the floor? The vice chair? Okay. All right. All in favor that Kimsey be our vice chair?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Kimsey. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Next item on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Public comment. Public comment? I forgot public comment. Thank you for coming. Anyone? You have 3 minutes if you'd like to speak at this time. You can also speak at you know, later on if you want to. No? Not right now? Okay. All right. Now approval.
You
have something to say?
Oh,
you
can't hear me.
I need a megaphone. I have to try to speak. Okay. I'll practice. All right. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move we approve the agenda as modified.
Okay. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Approval of the minutes. As amended.
I did include your edits, Sandy, that you sent, so that there would be complete sentences.
Okay. Yeah.
So
sometimes I figure it's me, you know. Okay. All in favor of the minutes? Oh, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Lauren.
You're welcome.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, Bob. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, subdivision approvals and updates.
There have been busy days and there have been slow days in the office regarding subdivision approvals and review. We have had 3 plats where we reviewed it as review officer only. We have had 4 plats where it was a recombination of previously approved lots. We have had 4 family subdivisions, and we have had 5 changing of boundary lines between property owners. And then we had a 2-lot subdivision over in Cathy's Creek.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? All right. Next on the agenda is old business, the noise ordinance.
We have a guest tonight.
Yes, I see that.
From the City of Brevard Police Department. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Joy.
You all requested that I invite Phil Harris to provide you with a demonstration of a sound measurement using a decibel reader so that you would have an idea of what a normal conversation is versus a loud noise. And so we are pleased to have Chief Phil Harris with us tonight.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you, board members. Pleased to be here. Feel free to ask me any questions. I made this pretty short. It's only 52 slides.
Excellent.
All right.
Let's make it a presentation for you. I don't know if it does. You can try it.
Either way.
It does.
Yeah, Our noise ordinance is that reference. And at the beginning of it, the kind of the general statement is the creation of any unreasonably loud, disturbing, and unnecessary noise in the city. Noise of this character, intensity, and duration to be detrimental to life or health of any individuals is prohibited. So that's a qualitative statement. It doesn't have any kind of a specific quantity. And our ordinance is made up of two parts. The first part was the old part. It's these acts are prohibited. Sounding a horn or vehicle unless as a danger signal. Any kind of vehicle, playing of a radio, phonograph, or other musical instrument at annoying volume. This is my condensation of longer sections. I tried to give a photograph of a phonograph to bring, just to remind everybody what it looks like. I can't imagine those walking around out in public or disturbing somebody in an apartment or something. Yeah. The use of any mechanical device operated by compressed air unless it is muffled. The qualitative part of it doesn't say what muffling means. It doesn't say how much. Construction except between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. So no construction on Sunday. Except if there's a permit that allows it, and that permit would be an exception in some kind of a situation where we needed to do it. Amplified sound except by permit, and guns or fireworks and some other noisemakers except by permit. Now it also says in our ordinance that this is not an all-inclusive list. So if you've got somebody that's making noise that's disturbing somebody else, and they're saying, well, it doesn't fit the ordinance, it does. There's a blanket covering everything. Before I got here, and it was apparently fairly short before I got here, I've been here 9 years, there was a couple of incidents with the bowling alley playing music, and it disturbed neighbors. We ended up eventually citing. We didn't go in and cite the first time. We tried to get them to turn the music down. We tried to get compliance. And over a series of contacts, over a series of nights, we eventually wrote two citations, and it went to court. And the judge found them not guilty. And the reason the judge did is he felt like we needed a quantitative, something that spoke to a specific measure, since a lot of ordinances have that. So they wanted us to add a decibel level. So we did. So the second part of the ordinance has decibel levels. It gives a long description of what it means and how to measure it and how to make sure you're getting up on good ambient level. But the crux of it is this. If the ambient level is exceeded by 10 decibels at nighttime, it's a violation. If it's exceeded by 20 decibels in the daytime, it's a violation. If we cannot find an ambient level because of problems with modulation or other issues, then if it exceeds 60 decibels at night or 70 in the daytime, it is considered a violation, a citable violation. I don't know if you can see this graphic. There were a bunch of them online, but this one looked like it was fairly easy to understand, starting here with 0 decibels. Breathing is at 10. Rustling leaves at 20. On around, you get a conversation at 60. Car traffic at 70. Truck traffic at 80. Hair dryer at 90. Helicopter at 100. I didn't put that in there. It was part of this. Trombone, 110. It says police siren, but the fire department sirens are way louder than ours. And they say that's 120, jet engine 130, fireworks at 140. I've got some additional examples of that, but that's basically a scale that I have found to be accurate. I'll give you some personal examples. When I go out into traffic, I get 70 to 75. And then when a large truck goes by, something with more lug nuts than my vehicle, it bumps it up to 85 to 90. And that's right next to me. I mean, that's why you're in traffic. Along the side of the road, could be higher, could be lower, but that's a reasonable amount. When I walk out in the police parking lot next to the hardware store, it pegs at about 60, no matter what time of day. So if you think back on that, at nighttime, the ambient level would suggest that if somebody complained about the noise at the police department from the air conditioning and other noises, they could say, well, you're right at the nighttime level. Except we can get that ambient measurement at 60, so it has to be 10 above that in order for it to be a violation. These levels are dangerous. You start getting into the danger area in this area. Up to here, anything up to 80 decibels, in theory, it will not damage your hearing, no matter how long you're exposed to it. If you get into 85 decibels, it says 8 hours. 90 decibels, 2 hours. 100 decibels, 15 minutes. 110, 2 minutes. 120, 15 seconds. Unprotected ears, you start doing damage. And then when you go above that, there's no amount of that noise going into your ear that will not damage it. Rock concerts are generally between the chainsaw and jackhammer, 110 to 120. And I've worked concerts. I did that when I was in college, and I often got stationed near the speakers. And the speakers were massive, and they're just pumping out as much noise as they can. I had to have my ears protected. I've always protected them in firearms, and I've got decent hearing. The only thing I can't hear is my kids asking for money. And that's that perfect frequency that just gets eliminated. So here is our meter, our sound meter. We have to have it tested for accuracy, adjusted every 2 years. As you pass it around and I talk, what you'll see is when it's quiet in here, it's in the 40s. And when somebody's talking, it bumps up into the 60s. If you sustain some kind of a noise, if we clapped and made some kind of sustained noise, we'd see it rise and reach a point. And
it's a good number of 70. Thank you. Thank you very much.
75, yeah. It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't take a lot. So
that do you want us to clap for you, Lauren?
Yes, I do. Yes. Please.
That's really good. So that gives us a quantitative measure to go to court. If we go to a property and somebody's playing loud music, and we say, well, we can't hear it. And they say, well, I can hear it. I can hear it in my house. We go in the house and we turn that on, and without the music, it's at 30, and with the music, it's at 32.
Woohoo!
It's not a violation.
Woohoo!
If you start getting that increase, then you've got a violation. And I'll tell you something odd. I worked in Tempe, Arizona for 25 years before doing this. It's a college town. It's been the largest campus in the nation on and off over the years. Right now, I think it's in the top 3 or 4. They have over 60,000 students at this campus. So it's party time. And you with that many students, just about any night. So they'd have live bands routinely. One night, I get a complaint on a live band. So we go down across the street, right across from the property line, and turn the meter on. It's within the code. It says there's no problem. So
I get with the manager and I say everything's cool. If we get more complaints, we'll ask you to turn your music down, but right now it sounds like it's working. I get a call from another patrol officer a mile away, and he says, can you get him to turn the music down? I said, I just measured it. It's not loud. He says, come up here. I go up to where he is, a mile away, and I turn the meter on, and it's 30 decibels higher. Mm-hmm. And I said, how in the world is this happening? Well, it was a cloudy night, which is pretty rare in Arizona. And the sound's hitting those clouds. So acoustics are odd. And sometimes that matters. So what my officers do is we go to the property and the location that somebody's complaining with the sound meter. And what we're ultimately looking for is not to hang a ticket on somebody. We're looking for compliance. So often the person complaining has a complaint. We talk to the source of the sound and say, this is disturbing a neighbor. We've measured it on the decibel level. It's right at that point where you could get cited. Please turn the volume down. Please turn the noise down. You look at the time, is it reasonable? And then you go from there. Cutting our grass at 3 in the afternoon is reasonable. Cutting our grass at 3 in the morning is not. A loud party, birthday party at 3 in the afternoon is great. At 3 in the morning, it doesn't work. So timing matters quite a bit. We try and get that kind of compliance.
Do you need a round of applause?
No, I've just been watching. You've been averaging right at about 52 to 54 decibels. Now that I'm talking this close to it, it's gone up to about 68.
Yeah. Conversation, you can probably guess on 55 to 65. Average conversation like we're talking right now. But if you've got loud conversation, you can be up in the 70s or higher.
Does the city's ordinance specify where the measurements are to be taken?
It does say the property line.
Oh.
If you've got a complaint very often, you're dealing with the property line that's shared. So if we've got a separation, we'll do both. The complainant, they're complaining from this property, which is the most important position. And sometimes we'll go to the property line of the source of the sound. But if I'm saying, in my house, this noise is disturbing me, it's my property line. I can hear the football stadium from my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I were to complain about it, that's where they're going to do the check. Now, the subtle part of our code that is really, really important is it unnecessary? I mentioned the football game. Stadium's been there since the early 60s, late 50s. They're going to have football games on Friday nights in the fall. They're going to have soccer games. They're going to use a loudspeaker. Is it unreasonable to expect them to have that noise? It's not. So when somebody complains about that, it's reasonable.
See, that was just like years ago. Everybody assumed the noise out of Acosta. Of course, it was paying those people's salary in the county, so nobody complained about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's necessary and it's reasonable. Now, if they were pumping the sound up for some reason because they want to upset somebody, then we've got a different story, but that's not what we find.
Can you go back to that very, very first slide? Because there was a question that I had about the very first one. Okay, now. Duration is to be detrimental to the life or health of any individual is prohibited. Now, in that word life, and this is what we've been struggling with, people who come to a community such as Transylvania County are expecting a lot of times peace and tranquility, retirement, whatever you want to call it. That can affect the quality of life with or without being in violation of the noise ordinance. So, Joy, isn't that was one of the things we were dealing with last time. You know, when does noise affect quality of life versus a quantitative decibel range? And yeah. I don't know if there's an answer for that.
One of the documents I'm going to hand you, Joy, is guidelines for drafting municipal noise control ordinances. I couldn't find one for counties specifically online. But in this document it says this: to protect the majority from being moderately annoyed, the noise level should not exceed 50 decibels. And we're talking about sustained. To protect the majority of the people from being seriously annoyed during the daytime, the level from steady, continuous noise in outdoor living areas should not exceed, and I'm thinking 65, 70, 55.
Because that does not match what the EPA document said from the 70s. That 65 was most often the level at which people started to get annoyed.
Yes. So I think there's some leeway in there. There's some room for interpretation and maybe our own decisions on that. But there are...
Thank you. I'll share these with the planning board.
I think it's worth the toleration for the neighborhood, for the neighbor individual, for the area. Like I said, we're not going to get downtown below a certain level, no matter what we do. The way it's built, cars all the time, it's just, there's noise.
If it establishes its own ambient level.
When we go out to DuPont, you think about, you're there all alone, you're in the parking lot, or you're at the building up front, it's probably just animal noise, birds and that sort of thing, which can get up to 50 decibels. Somebody drives on the crushed gravel, that's loud. You're probably talking 70 or 80. You go down at the waterfall, I don't know what you're getting there, 100?
Yeah, at least.
Okay, it would be loud.
Yeah.
So that's nature. So it's all the setting. That's what matters.
And you see the human nature of it. People accept the fact that it's going to be loud at the waterfall because they anticipate it's going to be loud. But they go back home and they hear a sound down the street, then it's annoying.
Right.
So see, I don't know how we're going to win.
How many calls or incidents do you have?
And where?
In a given week or a given month or just ballpark. I know you probably haven't run.
I should have checked that. It's not that many.
Yeah.
It's really not. The noise we get complaints on is often persons in conflict. That's where we get calls.
Who are more than moderately annoyed,
obviously. Yeah. But loud music and that sort of thing, we really don't get that many complaints.
What about vehicles? I got that. And I just, ironically, tonight, I got behind a kid in a Mustang, and I got his license plate. But, man, he had the mufflers on there. I know it was louder than a semi-truck.
Yeah, the way the state code is written, it's really hard for us to do any kind of enforcement on that. We can, but it's really hard. But yeah, and I get complaints on the compression braking, the gym braking. I've researched that. The state won't post any of those signs on their roads. And the reason they use is there is case law where truckers have rear-ended people and said it's because of that ordinance. Compression braking allows me to slow my truck to a certain extent. When you take that away from me, and I rear end somebody, now I've got a defense. Now, there's cities that have it, and they say, well, unless it's an emergency,
yeah.
Which in a sense pulls that out, but it's I think it's still dicey. We've talked a little bit about what gets the police to the call, what gets the sheriff's office to the call.
I use this as an example when I talk to people about what the police do. People say, well, you protect and serve. You write tickets. You take people to jail. You take reports. You get cats out of the crease. No, that's not us. That's the fire department. We do a lot of those things, but what we really do is we spend our time on that scale where people's rights are right up against each other. We have a right for safe roads. So when somebody's speeding, when they're running red lights, it makes it unsafe. So the police intervene. When somebody is trying to sleep at midnight and their apartment next door is playing music at 100 decibels, there's a right in there for somebody to have peace and quiet and a right for somebody to play music. So how do we make those two work so they're not bleeding over each other? So everything that I deal with, I kind of think of it like that. Hmm. I have a right to express my opinion, but I don't have my right to express it physically.
What do you do in the, not to change the subject, but you brought up an apartment. So what if you have two apartments right next to, and there's not really a, I guess there's a property line of a wall. I mean, it's not really a property line, but I mean, do you stand in the middle of the apartment? Do you, I mean, how do you deal with that ordinance? Where that's something we haven't defined at all. Like if the guy right next to you is blasting his music,
right?
You know,
we would go outside the apartments and we'd go in that apartment where the complainant is saying, "This is where my bedroom is, and I'm trying to sleep and I can't."
Right.
So we do it with the music. We have the music turned off, and we do it as an ambient level, and that's how we do it. Almost always, we can gain compliance. We can say to somebody, "You're disturbing your neighbor. Please turn the music down," and they do, and everything works for us. Every once in a great while, we've got to take action.
Is there a duration for taking a sound measurement that you find most helpful, like 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour?
What they ask us to do in our ordinance, and you've got it there, and I haven't read it in a while, but I think we have to take 3 measurements in a 10-minute period. So if you think about that, when you get there, 5 minutes later, a second measurement, 5 minutes later, a third measurement, and you've got your average sound.
And that works for your police officers?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you go there and you've taken your readings and the person won't comply. Well, I'm going to play my music. Do you then write a citation or what?
It depends on the circumstances. The citation is most often what we're going to do is a misdemeanor in our presence at that point, and we can actually arrest them. We can put cuffs on them and take them down to the jail. Mm.
Mm. Now, the deputy that came from the county said, more often than not, it's dog barking. Do you get that too in the city?
We do. And that is a separate ordinance, but we could still, if necessary, do the measurement on the sound meter.
Separate ordinance?
Yeah, it is the.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, you're saying that any ordinance that we look at is not going to be worth the paper it's written on unless we can quantify the data. It's not. Like I was talking about quality, like quality of life, quality of sound, quality of this. It's more like this is how loud it is, and at these levels, it's disturbing the people around you, therefore, we have to enforce it. So, to have a sound ordinance without quantitative numerics and all that is useless, basically.
That is my research, that statement. Qualitative measures are subjective and to interpret for court convictions. If you add a qualitative measurement, you say to the judge, this was the ambient level, this was the level they were playing it, the noise was being made, and our ordinance says that's a violation. But Mike Pratt, our city attorney, I've got the deepest respect for him. This is one of the earlier discussions we had because it had just become a new ordinance. And Mike said, I don't agree with the courts. I think the qualitative is good enough. But the courts say, I want the quantitative. Mm-hmm. So we put that in the ordinance. But I still, this is Mike speaking, I don't see the necessity to take out the qualitative. So our ordinance has both. And I think there's some wisdom in that.
Well, the qualitative is wide, basically. And the quantitative, if you, here's the problem.
It gives you the level.
Mm-hmm. Could you put the slide up and have the circle or the thing in it? There we go.
One thing that's, I think, tricky about the decibel is it's logarithmic, so it's not 0 to 100 in equal segments. It's 0 to 100 in each step is a little bit larger. And that was one of the questions I think we struggled with in the last meeting. When we talk about it's 10 decibels over the ambient, 0 to 10, if we're looking at that measurement, is not very much, but 90 to 100 is a great deal. So I was trying to understand, you know, if the ambient noise in a room was, say it's very low, say it's 30, and someone complains, and you read a meter at 40, that's so low that can you reasonably say that's actually a reason for a complaint? Versus if the ambient noise is 60 and it goes to 70, which I think would be a reason for a complaint. So it's trying to figure out what the 10 over, I think, is the ambient that's reasonable.
Right.
Because it's hard to just say it's 1 to 10 because that's not the way the decibels work.
You were dead on. I love math. I love physics. But I haven't studied this enough to understand it entirely. But here's what I do know. When I saw this chart, it goes up 5 decibels from 85 to 90, and this number over here goes from 8 hours of exposure to 2 hours.
To 2 hours, right?
5 different. When you go up to, from 90 to 100, so now it's 10, you're going from 2 hours to 15 minutes. 10, 15 minutes to 2 minutes. 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you're talking about. What I'm recalling is that if it goes from 85 to about 88, it goes from 8 to 4 hours.
Right. I mean, and that's only 3 decibels in that area.
Right.
So clearly, I think, what is the... that's the big problem, is to get a quantity. How do you measure it? Because I don't think you can just say it's 10 decibels over... Or maybe you have to define where that 10 decibels lives in the scale, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
I think you can look at models.
Right.
What I like about what we ultimately did is there's 2 aspects of it. One is if we can get that ambient level.
Yeah.
And then the other is... If we can't get that, we just
put a number
item out there. I think your point is this. If the ambient level is 40 and it's 10 decibels above it, that's a higher increase than if it were 60 and 10 above that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I think we've got to... I think you have a little bit of an issue figuring out what's fair. There's plenty of models out there.
Right.
Plenty of ordinances that have been around for a long time. Tempe, where I was, a college town, they got on board fairly early on this. They were cutting edge, and we imagined noise for a college town. They knew what they were doing. And theirs looks very much like this. So you may research a few models. And county, I thought about this. I'm not sure what the difference would be in the county and the city.
We have no zoning. So we can have residences next to industrial zones. And so how do you deal with that in a fair manner?
Right.
That is what the planning board has been discussing.
And I could make a suggestion, but really, I don't live in y'all's world.
Right.
I would think you could probably come up with something that's qualitative and something that's quantitative and do both.
Mm-hmm.
But it might create some...
I think, too, the length of time the noise goes on is critical. I was sitting here thinking, I remember a time, a number of years ago, living in a subdivision in another area, and some people were talking, not yelling, not screaming, not arguing, just talking on the sidewalk. And after a little bit, it became annoying because the night was quiet. We were quiet in the house, and these people were on and on with this conversation. I doubt that it exceeded our decibel criteria, but it was the length of time that it went on that became annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another aspect. I don't know that we've really talked about that. Guys, have we? I don't think so. But that's another thing that we need to do with it. It may be one thing for the helicopter to fly by, but if it's hovering next door, it's an entirely different situation.
It's very irritating to people when it's sitting there hovering.
And it's like a lot of construction equipment, or like a big truck. A big truck goes by, you know, it's loud. It stops, and an engine's running in front of your house for 10 or 15 minutes. That's a different story, or 20 minutes, or a half hour.
I mean, I guess since this is a complaint-driven ordinance, it's... I mean, someone calls you and says, this guy is killing me with his stereo, and, I mean, do you say, well, how long has it been on? Oh, it's been on for 30 seconds. It's, you know, obviously that's different than it's been on for an hour. But if it is complaint-driven, I mean, they have the right, under this ordinance, to call you if it's been 30 seconds.
Construction equipment's the same way. You might, if you run a jackhammer for 15 minutes, but you're doing it all day long.
Right.
And also the timing on that. It's just like Mike was saying, John Wayne Hardison was talking the other day about when they're doing chipping in the neighborhood, they may run those chippers 6, 8, 10 hours a day.
Right.
But it's during the day, a lot of times when people are working, but retirees may not be working. But is it an expected occurrence for that type of work?
Right.
And see, we haven't even had a chance to really talk about that. What is acceptable during the day and what's expected?
So you can see why we've been struggling with this.
Well, you're back to what is reasonable.
Yeah.
Is it reasonable to run a chipper 8 hours a day in a neighborhood when they've got work? Yes, absolutely. Is it reasonable to run it at 10 at night? No, it's not. So it's that reasonable part of it. When you've got a crime, you've got two parts of it. One is an act and the other is a mental culpability or mindset to commit a crime. In this particular ordinance, Joey, you'd have to read it. I don't know if it's written in there. I think it might say that we warn if it is reasonable or if it's possible. But I know our policy is we warn. So what we want to know is, do you understand that your stereo, your party, is disturbing your neighbors? And if the answer is yes, and I'm going to party on because this is my 21st birthday, we're going to eventually shut it down. And maybe that person's going to get a ticket. If they say, I wasn't aware, we want to work with you and try and work it out. Turn it from 110 decibels down to 90 and let's see what happens in your neighborhood. Let's see if that's good enough.
Right.
And it almost always is. We can always find that point where everybody's happy. Every now and then we've got to say, gotta shut it down.
So that's up to the LEO to make the PR judgment between the two.
Right.
And sometimes the two, I guess, can work it out even though it's above the minimum acceptable.
They can.
Yeah.
And if they do, I'm great with that.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for taking the time to be here tonight.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Should I just name this? Sure.
Well, I hope that's helpful. And if you've got questions that I haven't answered, feel free to get a hold of me or ask Joy and Joy King.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Gives us a lot to think about. All right. Joy, you sent us the four pages that we needed to go over tonight.
Those four pages are what you reviewed last time.
Okay.
In reference to what Chief Harris was describing about qualitative, the ordinance that we currently have on the books for Transylvania County is qualitative only. Mm-hmm. And you will find that on page 3 of what was emailed out to you, or the last version, because this section did not change between the last meeting and the meeting prior to that. But section 2.1 is the qualitative. In determining whether a noise is unreasonably loud or disturbing, the following factors incident to such noise are to be considered based on the totality of circumstances surrounding a particular determination. Mm-hmm. So that is what they have to go on now. And as Chief Harris was saying, that qualitative interpretation by the officer is important to have. Mm-hmm. Whether the noise is recurrent, intermittent, or constant, gets to your point of that constant conversation on the sidewalk. Whether the noise is related to normal operation of a business or other labor activity, that's that qualitative, people have to be able to make a living and support the FireWise program so that the homes don't burn down. Whether it's being controlled without unreasonable effort or expense to the creator of it. So these are the qualitative pieces. And then there is the quantitative in section 2.2. And so to determine if the noise is in violation of the ordinance, the enforcement officer will use the decibel meter to measure the offending noise level in the following manner. I don't know if 2.2 needs to reference 2.1 and reference that qualitative nature, or if that can just be done in the purpose statement, which is Article 3 on page 1. So that is a question that... if we are going to be merging a qualitative ordinance with a quantitative ordinance, how do we ensure that there is still that qualitative aspect that comes in to determining if it's a violation?
I think it's okay the way it is.
Okay.
Said, you know, you've got, is it unreasonably loud based on the time of day, you know, what's going on, what are the circumstances, what's the ambient noise? You got to consider that, and then if you say, yeah, it sounds too loud, and now let's measure it, and then when you go to court and say, okay, it was so many decibels, and therefore is in violation.
Yeah, they're in the same article, so I think it's taken as a whole.
Yep. Okay. Great. So, those first four pages that were sent in your agenda packet was just to show the work that you all did last month. Because you had previously received all 9 pages of the ordinance to save trees. We did not print it all out. And I have copies of the 9 pages if you want additional copies.
On 2.2.3. 2.2.3,
yes.
Sound measurements taken for a minimum of 5 minutes. I wonder if we ought to consider like what the city does and take them for 5 minutes, 2 or 3 times. And that way, you know, we've got it down pat. You know, I think he said they do theirs every 5 minutes, 3 times.
He said three measurements in a 10-minute period. So we can use that exactly. Sound measurements will be taken. However, the county attorney mentioned that duration of violation. So it's a violation if it was, if during the sound measurement it was over the decibel level 50% of the time. So there's a question of, do we need that 50% of the time, or do we need to average three different measurements? You see how it's getting at the same thing, but doing it in a different way. So either we take it for 10 minutes solid, and it's a violation if it's above the decibel limits for greater than 50% of the time, or we take it three measurements in a 10-minute period.
See, the type of noise is going to be relative to how long you have to measure it.
Yes,
it is. That's the thing. If it's a barking dog, you might take that three times. That dog never barks. It might bark a lot in 10 minutes. But it also seems kind of ridiculous to sit there with a decibel meter if someone's having a party. It's like, okay, look, after the first 10 seconds, that meter's going to read over.
Well,
yeah.
One of the things with this, it exceeds a decibel limit for a duration of more than 50% of the time. As we just saw, this meter is constantly changing. The guy's got to stand there and hold it and decide whether it's 50% of the time.
Fair enough.
No way to measure this. Well, I guess you can.
That's tough. I don't know how we're going to do that.
To record it.
To take a recording of it.
My mind says, is there a way, does that meter store information to where you could?
Maybe it does.
It could be printed out or looked at.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does. Store.
Yeah, it really was. 75% of the time or 70% of the time it was too loud.
But right.
I don't know how. I really don't know after seeing the meter how you would do that. Sitting there looking at it.
And that comes into averaging all the measurements too.
Well, that, I mean, that's a mathematical process. You can do that. You've got to take those readings and write them down if you're going to do that.
But you saw how it fluctuated in just a second.
Oh, yeah. Not even.
So if you took it at the bottom level and then,
And the music is, if it's normal dance-type music, party music, it varies all the time.
So we can modify 2.2.3 to be three... sound measurements shall be taken within a 10-minute period.
Taken three times?
That's what we do for ambient noise level. They're saying within 10 minutes, do three readings, and that gives you the ambient noise level. When that dog barking is not going on, or whatever it is, right? And 1.1?
Of their ordinance?
No, of ours. Three readings, a weighted sound level based on at least three readings made and recorded over a period of less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's for the ambient level.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So you do that, you get an ambient level, it's 65 decibels or whatever, and then I guess you just turn the meter on for 5 minutes and track that. And if for 2.5 minutes or more, it's over.
Yeah,
because
you
got to
have something to compare it.
Yeah.
How do you determine that? I mean, it's up, it's down, you're looking at your watch, you
don't have to meter. Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like you have to record the ambient level, like, after the fact, because you get there and they're going to record the noise first, right?
But then that ambient level might change, depending on the time of day, because of AC units or traffic. And so that's the email that I shared with you from Chief Harris back in December showed that there was a subjective component to determining the ambient level. And that's why last month you said that if the noise level exceeded the ambient level by 15 decibels so that the total noise level is over 65 decibels between the hours of 9 and 6, then it would be a violation. So you had the ambient in there, but you also had that total noise level. of 65.
And see, you got to take that ambient level long enough because the neighbor's AC unit may cut on,
right,
which everybody considers normal, and nobody thinks anything about that.
Right.
But that contributes to the ambient noise level.
Yeah. It is complicated. Without ever having gone out to enforce this or had the police called on you, it's hard to make a judgment. But you all went line by line through the ordinance last month. In light of his presentation, did you want to revisit 2.2.3? The sound measurement shall be taken for a minimum of 5 minutes.
I'm okay with that since, like you said, we're establishing an ambient already. So when we come to the ambient, that's the three measurements over 10 minutes. This is just like, here's the noise, let's have the meter, we record digitally what's happening.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, the ambient is recorded for 10 solid minutes.
I think it's
three measurements.
Three measurements over 10.
Three measurements over 10 minutes is the ambient.
In the definition section.
1.1.
Okay, three readings. Okay.
And that would give you a cross section of what's happening within 10 minutes. That's probably reasonable.
I think so.
And then you say the noise is this loud. We need a constant recording for 5 minutes, which also seems reasonable to me. If a dog's barking, it's going to bark within 5 minutes. If there's a party, obviously, there's music.
And hopefully the dog just runs outside and barks a couple of minutes and they call it in. That's a kind of a somewhat. Like the story I told where it barked until the guy went outside and shot it. Well, I mean, that's a story.
But I'm just thinking, I'm just looking at this from a practical perspective, though. Do you want a police officer spending time standing there for 5 minutes? If we just sat there for 5 minutes and saying that you see how long that really is, standing there for 5 minutes looking at this meter, I mean, that seems like a long time to me.
But he can be there talking with the people, or it could be silent.
Because you can't really talk to the people.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get recorded.
Well, it shouldn't be silent because we're trying to take a measurement of the ambient, of the noise complaint. So hopefully it's not silent. If it's silent, then the police shouldn't be there. I mean, when he's doing this 5 minute thing, or however long we determine it is, that's the noise we're trying to capture. So, you know, is it 2 minutes? Is it three? I don't know.
But he has to be there for 10 minutes anyway to gather the ambient noise level. So he takes a ambient noise level when he arrives. He takes, or she takes, a sound measurement for 5 minutes, and then they try to establish another ambient noise level at the end of 10 minutes.
But if the noise is going on, you can't get an ambient level anyway.
They have to do that after the noise is done.
Exactly. That's
true.
This
is all assuming, too, that they're going to press the complaint, because as Chief Harris said, what most of the time they can go talk to the guy and say turn it down.
Yeah.
So clearly, if there's a real problem and they're going to the point of where they're going to check to see if they can really issue a citation,
they build a case.
I think it's reasonable that they're going to want to get a decent amount of evidence to say this is how noisy it was. That noise has to go away before they can do the ambient. So the ambient happens after the noise complaint.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well, that's what I thought too.
You have to go back and measure the ambient.
Or you can just go tell them, okay, turn that off.
I mean,
for a minute, I need to go and then right back.
I remember that thing about the bowling alley out there, and it was, the houses were pretty good distance away.
They still are, aren't they? I mean, they are. Must have been really loud.
But you see, it was also between the hours of 9 and 7 a.m., even if they didn't do the ambient, if it exceeded 60 decibels and all that, then it's a violation.
Right.
Right.
And we allow them,
I think 65.
65 and 75. Because of the nature of the county.
See, that was a way of govern ourselves or making it fair. So, you know, if we couldn't get the ambient noise and do all these measurements, if it exceeds this between these hours, it's automatically a violation.
It's just how long do they take the measurement? Does it have to be 5 minutes?
A minimum of 5 minutes.
If it's intermittent, you can get an ambient noise while it's intermittent, why it's not. I don't know.
Where can we say like a maximum of 5 minutes? Is that too vague? So the police officer could say, we took it for 2 minutes, it wasn't longer than 5 minutes, or do we need to say a min or max, or at the discretion of the officer? Or
if I am mad that the neighbor's dog is barking, yeah. The moment the sheriff's deputy arrives at my house, it stops. I will want him to be there for at least 5 minutes.
Or as long as it takes.
Or as long as it takes to get that dog barking measurement. And so that's where I was thinking. Because if you don't give a property owner 5 minutes, do they feel like they got enough time? That you cared about them enough to spend 5 minutes taking a sound measurement? Because yes, it feels like forever, but only if it's silent, or only if it's constant noise. If it's intermittent noise, 5 minutes may not feel as long. So there's
there are.
So is 5 minutes a minimum of 5 minutes too long? Is it too short, or is it just right? Or does it need to be modified to be like the ambient noise level reading of 3 measurements over a period of no less than 10 minutes?
One of the things I'm looking at on the decibel level would say by more than 15 decibels, so the total noise level is over 65, that means the ambient would be 50.
Mm-hmm. Which we know is nothing. It just seems like.
Well, that's the thing, because it's nothing but if you're in your living room and you're hearing, I forgot, what's 50?
50 is urban residence.
Okay, and you're hearing that, or like a conversation might be a better example, 60. So if you imagine you're sitting in your living room watching TV and you can hear a normal conversation, this conversation, but that conversation is happening a house away, that's annoying. You know, it's not like you and I talking, it's like you're hearing a conversation they're having next door.
Chances are they're going to be yelling at you.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't care.
We don't care what they're writing.
But yes, so I think that's why it's so tough, because 65 isn't very much, but it's a whole lot if you're in your house and you're hearing that 65 from a source that's one house away.
If you're watching TV, okay. You can still hear them.
Yeah. So I think that's how we came up with that last time.
Yeah. We looked at the totally EPA's relevant guidance, yeah, and looked at the OSHA sound meter and determined that that was a reasonable
annoyance.
Based on the data that the EPA provided and the urban residence and conversation level. So
that's where we came up with 2.2.6.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
This says that 60 dB is you're 3 feet away from a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hearing the people next door. It's not a normal conversation.
Right.
Yeah, they're not having one anymore.
Okay. So
would it have to? Are we saying it would have to be a sustained level of say 65 decibels for 5 minutes?
It would have to be a sustained 65 decibels for 2.5 of the 5 minutes.
Okay. 50% of the time.
50% of the time.
Okay.
More than 50% of the time. So 2.6 minutes. Over a 5 minute period.
Well, it looks like I'm reading this sound advice handout.
Yep.
And they say now that they have averaging meters. So I'm assuming it can keep the average.
That's good.
And it says, readings were made 5 or 10 seconds apart for a specified number of readings or a specified time. Mm-hmm. So, could you say, one reading a minute for 5 minutes, and then take that average? So rather than standing there and kind of assuming you have the capability to do that on the meters that they have.
I don't know, it might get even louder between your readings.
It might.
So I don't know.
Or 5 or 10 seconds apart, or I don't know.
I don't know.
I just think it seems like a continuous 5 minute statement is a little bit cumbersome. I don't know.
Well, and I was thinking it was too short.
Really?
When I threw that out there, I was like, this seems short.
Okay, let's sit here. Nobody talk for 5 minutes. And let's see how short it seems to be.
I know, it will seem like forever. But you have to wait till the offending noise starts up again. But, and give it at least 10 minutes. Or just stay there.
Well, it says 5 minutes for the offending noise. But if the police officer has to be there 10 minutes anyway to determine if an ambient noise level can be taken, they're going to be there. They can be taking the measurement for 5 of those minutes.
Yeah.
Well, chances are he arrives and he immediately takes a reading.
Right.
Chances are he's going to go to the door.
Yes.
So that's going to kill him some time. And then he can take another reading when he gets back. They can very easily sit there in the cruiser for 5 minutes and stick the meter out the window every so often and read what it says.
Well, they have an ordinance in the city now. How does it read? How do they go measure that now?
The similar to Chief Harris, it's been a while since I read this. It was handed out to you all in December. So it probably was a while since you've read it, too.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I did not memorize the City of Brevard's ordinance. He was going based off of memory. Well, I thought it was based on the guidance that Sandy found. It seems like it would, if it can.
I think anything made in the past 5 years can have a digital recorder.
Yeah.
So let's see. Here's the noise right from the guard. That thing that they figured they do have that separate parking dog ordinance. See, I think in the Brevard noise ordinance, they do not say specifically how they establish the ambient. It just says the ambient noise level shall be determined if it's reasonably practical to do so in the discretion of a law enforcement officer or officers.
They have to measure the actual noise.
It says then the alleged violation noise level shall be determined at the same location.
They have a definition section on their code of ordinances that ambient noise level means an average A-weighted sound level based on at least 3 readings made and recorded over a period of no less than 10 minutes, made at the location where a complaint the complainant claims to be disturbed by an alleged violation, but at a time that no noise is then being alleged to violate the ordinance, and made at a point no closer than outside the property line of the property from where the noise is generated. Mm-hmm. That is how they define the ambient noise.
See, he even said behind the P&E there, Harris Hardware, the noise at the same time is quieter than if he walks up in on the main street. So it's so relative. I think we're just going to have to come up with something that's our best logical attempt to make an ordinance. And I don't think we're going to be able to take away an officer's ability to make decisions in the field. I just don't see that we can define it that closely.
So, just if it helps, they say that to capture the violating noise, they use the same procedure as capturing the ambient noise.
So, well, let's make it easy.
So we can use the same sound measurements. Shall be taken, or three sound. The ambient in ours was taken from Brevard.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading it, if you looked at 1.1, mm-hmm. it is the same.
Great.
And so, if we use 1.1 as our basis for the sound measurement.
I can see a judge throwing a case out because you measured it two different ways, so you're not consistent in terms of how you...
Perfect.
The sound advice article brings up something I hadn't thought about, that meters can be fast or slow. That is, they can be set so that slow averages sound over about a second, where fast is probably what we were seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
changed
instantly
with voice tone. And obviously, slow would be easier to read than what we said.
Well, so from a practice standpoint, so it's not really a big problem within the city, according to Chief Harris. I'm assuming it's probably less of a problem in the county.
You saw the number of violations they received over the 9 months.
Yeah, so...
About 160, if I'm remembering correctly, in 9 months.
In the county?
It was over 100.
It was more than I would...
But how many of those were actually cited?
Yeah.
Because their first...
Right.
Course of action is just right.
Those were just the number of calls they received.
Yeah, so, okay, hey, the neighbors are pointing in, turn your noise down, it is too loud, turn it down. Okay, and then we're done, right? And if you won't turn your noise down, then the police tell you to turn your noise down, you got other problems anyway, right?
Yeah.
So this really, to me, is it going to get to the point, how many of you are going to get to the point where you've got to show that you did this and go do it in court? Some, probably. This is just really, I think this is going to be the extreme. We're really addressing worst case here, where somebody's going to have to go to court and prosecute it, right?
Right. Okay.
Probably what would trigger that is if they become combative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a guy, and then maybe really have to arrest the guy.
And you don't have to warn.
So
maybe
it sounds like...
Let's go.
Okay. I was surprised by that. If they don't comply, you can arrest them.
Well,
they
again, they probably have other issues.
Yes.
So,
maybe alcohol or something like that, yeah. All right. So, what do we want to do?
I would say that 2.2.2 should read it's taken in the same place as the ambient noise, or however you want to word it. And 2.2.3 should say it's measured in the same way, in the same methodology as the ambient
noise. That would be important to me, I think.
So that's what the Brevard ordinance says.
Okay.
And that way there's no discrepancy about, well, did you stand in the same place? Did you do it the same way? You know, what if you took the ambient noise from a different property line, whatever.
Or a different place on the property line, yeah.
I think that kind of...
There was 166 complaints over 11 months.
Wow. 166?
Over 11 months.
11 months, all right. I knew it was through November, but I didn't know when it when the measurement started. Okay. Okay. However, so the sound measurement shall be taken at the same location as the ambient noise level.
Yeah. I'll just say in the same manner, the whole process, right? Three readings in no less than 10 minutes from the same location.
But do we want to specify where that it will be taken at the complainant's property boundary closest to the source of the
I kind of feel like if we need to duplicate it. Just so it's okay.
Okay.
In the county, one problem that might bring up, and I don't know why it would do this, but some houses are set way back.
Right.
And what the property line is probably the highway or the road.
Okay.
And the house may be 100-200 feet back. And if they hear it in the house, of course, hopefully you're going to get
it. It's going to be even louder at the property line, right? Closest to the fending line.
But it'll be higher at the property line. Mm-hmm.
Chief Harris did say they took it at the property line and at the source of the complaint. So in the apartment building, the property line is the apartment building, but also the master bedroom or the bedroom. So the sound measurement shall be taken at the same location as the ambient noise reading, and which shall be at the complainant's property boundary closest to the offending noise and at the source of the complaint. So if it's the back porch or if it's the bedroom, it's the source of the complaint.
At the location where a complainant claims to be disturbed by an alleged violation.
Okay. At the...
Mark's
yep.
1.1.
Yeah.
Yep. 1.1.
You can almost copy 1.1 and just...
yep.
Take out
will do. Will do. Perfect. 1.1 for 2.2 and 2.23. Yep.
We have to be specific. That's something the attorney, county attorney, to get
specific.
Very specific. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions we have? Let's see.
Section 3 now.
Did we not do Section 3 last time?
We did.
Thanks for coming.
We went through exempted noises last time.
Not that we can't revisit it. It's kind of
we went through all of this last time.
We got to section that we got to noises prohibited. So,
is it after we know decibel limits? I've got written here.
We got to section 4, which is old section 3, to make it confusing.
Right.
Old section 3.
So we need to pick up then on 4.1.
Yeah. So if you need a full version of the ordinance, I have extra copies here.
This is like the Supreme Court trying to define pornography.
Oh, yeah.
I know it when I see it.
You know a noise violation when you hear it.
I know it when I hear it. Right?
Yes. So, Steve, please note that on the full version that has all pages, I did modify section 4.3 to reflect what was discussed last month. So the full version that you got in March does not include the decibel levels that were modified after your discussion in April. So on the full version, 4.3 should read 65 decibels or 75 decibels. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So then that means we've got the part of 4.3 relative to the constrained animals and dogs and so forth.
Right. And I sent out copies of the minutes from the Ag Advisory Board from September 13th because they happened to discuss dog noise complaints. And as a county that values agriculture, I thought it was important to get the Ag Advisory Board's comments about dogs prior to the Planning Board considering dogs. And their comments, I'll read it in case you don't have it in front of you.
Okay.
Dog noise complaints. Guardian dog doesn't have to see a threat. They can hear one, they can smell one. And when they sense a threat, they bark. As long as they smell or perceive a threat, they will continue to bark. It is agreed that there is nothing that the board could do to intervene in this case. They got a complaint about a barking dog. So, as long as there is a threat, there is a potential for a guard dog to be barking. If you look at 3.9, under exempted noises, farming operations shall be exempt from this ordinance. And so, does a guard dog that is associated with a farming operation exempt from the ordinance?
Let me give you another example. Cattlemen, they put donkeys in the field to protect their cattle.
Right, cows, yeah.
And if you've ever seen a coyote or if they ever sense a coyote near the herd and all that,
yeah.
I mean, those donkeys go ballistic.
Yep.
And that would be no different than a guard dog. And nearly every cattle grower here has a few donkeys out there in their field.
I bet they make a lot of donkeys. Delightful.
That's a good thing.
So 3.9, farming operations shall be exempt from the operation of this ordinance?
That's how it's worded now. If you don't like how that is worded, change it.
Which one are we talking
Steve
about
Steve went back to 3.9 because
right.
I brought it up.
Right.
Farming operations shall be exempt from the operation of this ordinance.
Right.
From the operation?
Oh, yeah.
We can...
From the...
Execution?
Execution.
Or just from this ordinance.
From this
yeah,
ordinance.
Better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
From this ordinance, strike out any operation.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
I wouldn't consider a barking guard dog a farming operation. That, to me, denotes like, you know, tractors and corn pickers and...
It's kind of like their job.
Yeah, I have that same problem. Yeah. I don't know that a guard dog is farming operation.
No, but it's part of the
and
farm.
And you got the donkey situation, which...
Kind of the
I
same
mean,
thing.
That's why they're in the pastures.
Yeah.
To ward off the coyotes, and they can go ballistic. Seen her never been there. Another thing about the guard dogs... they may perceive a threat if somebody just walks up.
Walks down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Same deal.
Or what?
Yeah, or even just someone walks down the sidewalk. Is that a perceived threat?
Yeah.
So you have a guard dog, you're trained to bark at anyone walking down the sidewalk, and we're saying that's exempt?
It's going to open up.
Yeah.
Only if it's associated with agriculture.
Right.
And I think we need to clarify that in 4.3.
Yeah.
Because you can't be exempt under 3.9 and then have the cops called on you because of 4.3.
Instead of specifying specifically dogs, we could say guard animals.
But this is constrained animals, meaning they're tied up?
Mm-hmm. Or caged.
Or the animals that they're protecting are constrained, such as within a pasture.
Yeah, within a pasture. I would say that's constrained.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
Whose idea was it for us to get in this to begin with?
Not mine.
Didn't the commissioners ask us to do this?
The commissioners asked you all to review this. They did.
We're doing good work here.
We work at their pleasure. Yeah.
So you want to change dogs to guard animals? Or do we leave it dogs? Dogs.
I think we leave it as dogs or any other constrained animals that by frequent or habitual howling, yelping, barking, or otherwise cause loud noises and produce seriously annoying disturbance to any person or to the neighborhood between the hours of 9 to 6.
Yeah, this is a villain.
Provided they are not associated with farming operations as defined by NC General Statute the General Statute that defines agricultural operations,
which is very specific.
Yeah.
Put the word bread in there here would cover that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry I wasn't here last month. So I'm looking at the example you got from Henderson County, and they specifically mentioned firing, shooting, or discharging firearms. That just happens to be a personal issue I have because I've got somebody that lives probably a quarter mile from me, and probably once a week I hear about 15 or 20 shotguns going off out there. Boom, boom, boom. So I know he's not hunting or else he's really bad at it.
He's practicing.
Or I don't know what's going on, but it's loud. You know, when you live up on the mountain, it's so loud.
I get that,
scares
too.
Scares my dogs. And I actually, when I first moved here, I called the sheriff on it. They said, well, there's really nothing we can do about it. Because you're in the county.
Not often, but in different locations from where I live, I hear gunshots. And I'm sure there's target shooting by the way that the shots are fired.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that.
In the city, that would be a problem, but I don't see it's a problem in the county. Does anybody else?
And
I don't know.
A police officer will tell you that, yeah, they can do it on their property.
Okay.
But if it's over 70 decibels in my yard.
Well, hopefully it's not after 9 p.m. Right?
But he's saying...
Has
it? Well, that's a problem.
I'm going to note the time.
Yeah.
The reason I provided the Henderson County example was on page 1, C3, the keeping, owning, possessing, harboring, or controlling of any animal or bird which barks, bays, yelps, howls, cries, squawks, or makes any other unreasonably loud, disturbing noise continuously or incessantly for a period of 10 minutes or intermittently for a period of 30 minutes or more, thereby causing a noise disturbance. I provided that as an example because it is very different than what our ordinance currently says.
Right.
And as you were thinking about dogs and other constrained animals, I wanted another example.
Because remember the deputy said dogs are barking is their number one complaint.
Yeah, and I had the word braying in there, which I bet you that braying is how
yelping, barking, braying.
Sometimes they do.
So,
Broking.
Unreasonably loud, disturbing noise continuously or incessantly for 10 minutes. So I could call the police on my wife then, couldn't I? We need this on the ordinance, no, I'm kidding.
Do we want to take out dogs and just say any constrained animals? So that would include any
animal or
dog. I mean, if you had a cat, that was very noisy, but the birds or whatever. That way it's sort of all-encompassing. Or do we want to keep specifically call out dogs? Since they are probably a primary.
Probably, yeah. That makes sense to me.
I'll give you an example. Do you remember years ago when the roosters got hung out around the courthouse?
Uh-huh.
And people called the city cops to go up there and get rid of the roosters crowing. Well, I mean, there wasn't much they could do.
And they're not, and they weren't constrained.
No. But they
sure
hung around the courthouse.
Were they part of farming operations?
No. they had escaped. And they took up residence around the courthouse.
Someone must have been feeding
them. Have you ever heard of peacock?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We had one a half mile from us in there, and you could hear them a half mile away. They're crazy.
It's loud.
Might have been bothering me, but you can hear them.
Somebody has peacocks.
Yeah.
I think, though, in a rural situation, you have to expect some of that.
Yes.
Well, and again, that goes back to, you know, 2.1, what's unreasonable? Well,
right.
Time of day, where is it? Is it related to, you live on a farm, you have cows.
Yeah, right. And they,
what? I mean, they're going to move.
It's just like odors from the farm.
Yeah.
To match that wording, though, in 2.1, dogs or any other constrained animals that by frequent, recurrent, or constant. I didn't include intermittent, but to have 4.3 match 2.1 a little bit more, if you look at 2.1C, whether the noise is recurrent, intermittent, or constant, instead of habitually, having it by frequent, recurrent, or constant, howling, yelping, barking, braying, or otherwise.
Yeah, I like getting the language in line.
You want intermittent in there so it is verbatim. Or is intermittent related to animals, not unreasonable? No. Okay. Recurrent.
You have questions, Joy.
Okay.
Sorry.
it does seem that intermittent may not apply to, because a dog barks once a day, it's intermittent. Who cares?
But if it barks constantly,
that's a problem.
Or recurrently,
right.
Or frequently,
then we have a problem.
We don't have frequently.
Wait, it is in there now. Do we want it to remain? That by frequent, recurrent, or constant?
Yeah.
Or do we want it to match exactly 2.1C? I think if it's close, it's better. But I don't think it
has. I think we can add.
We're specifically talking about dogs. So it's
dogs or other constrained animals.
Yeah, right.
That by frequent, recurrent, or constant howling, yelping, barking, braying, or otherwise causing. It's just not worded well. Otherwise disturbing.
Okay.
Because loud and or disturbing is the qualitative, unreasonably loud or disturbing. Or otherwise unreasonably loud or disturbing noises that produce
reasonably loud noises that or can be seriously annoying disturbance. Something like that.
I don't think we need that other part. Dogs or any other constrained animals that by frequent, recurrent, or constant howling, yelping, barking, braying, or other unreasonably loud or disturbing noises between the hours of 9 and 6? Because we're saying it's an unreasonably loud and disturbing noise.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
do you mind reading that again, Joy?
Yes, I don't mind at all.
I'm that from 9 to 6. If it's 7:30 and I'm trying to watch TV and I've got dogs barking over.
9 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Why?
9.
Because it's nighttime.
Yeah, but if it's in here, if it's 7:30 and I'm trying to watch TV or set out on my porch.
If it's unreasonably loud or disturbing, no matter what time, it could cause you emotional harm.
Right, your blood pressure's going up.
Yeah.
So, like in the winter, it gets dark early, and they shouldn't be at 7 o'clock out there barking constantly.
You see, that doesn't mean somebody's still can't call in a complaint.
Right.
Whether it's before 9 p.m. or not.
Right.
No, but if I do call in, and then you look at this,
it's not a prohibited.
Somebody was like, well, it was 7:30, and the ordinance clearly says after 9 p.m. And then they obviously say, yeah, but it was between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. It was exceeding the ambient level.
But should it be after sundown and before sunrise or something?
In section 2, you set the decibel levels that are violations.
Right.
So in section 4, you're looking at the sources of the noise. You don't have to go back and define the decibel levels that make it a violation. You've already done that. You don't necessarily have to have the hours. Because like you say, if it's above the decibel level between these set hours, you have different decibel levels during those hours, it could be a violation. So if dogs or any other constrained animals that by frequent, recurrent, or constant howling, yelping, barking, braying, or otherwise causing unreasonably loud or disturbing noises, dogs.
Yeah.
But that's not a full sentence.
No.
Back to your point.
Yeah, if you have a dog that's barking all day, that can get...
Yeah, I don't think it matters what time it is.
Right.
And that doesn't have to be a sentence. It just says the following noises are prohibited. Right? That noise is prohibited. Right?
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that the dog barks 15 minutes, that it's problem.
Yeah.
Provided they are not associated with farming operations as defined by North Carolina general statutes.
Mm-hmm.
That gets back to the rural nature of Transylvania
mm-hmm.
County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I will have that written up in a nice, clear way on the next draft that you get.
Okay.
Sandy, you want to try to get through this tonight? So we can,
what do you all think?
We don't have much choice. I mean, we got to review the whole thing. What's the timeline on this, Joy?
There is none.
Joy thought we might be on this all year. Hopefully not. But
well, you all started back in November.
Yeah.
You received it in November. And you have deliberated the permit procedure previously, but you wanted to revisit it once you had decibel levels.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you have decibel levels, I think we need to look at the rest of the ordinance in light of that.
Okay.
Now the rest of the agenda is not going to take a terrible amount of time, it doesn't look like.
Do you have a lot for the small area plan? It's just an update, right?
Just an update.
What do y'all think? Want to try to get just a little further?
One thing about it, if we get to it tonight, we're going to do it.
Yeah,
or we can end early tonight and revisit it and finish it next time.
what we're into now is procedure and permit procedure and
right.
all that stuff.
Now, how much is that going to be impacted just because of the fact that we have decibel levels? I would think it'd be minimal.
I don't know.
Before we leave Section 4, make sure that 4.4 and 4.5 should be eliminated. Because you disagreed with some eliminations in the exempted noises.
I'm so glad you can keep track of this.
All right. Okay, all of that's been lined out in blue.
That's for you to decide, is it lined out correctly?
Well, one of the things I think that, how long is this, has the county had this ordinance?
It was last amended in 2013.
Yeah.
It was adopted in 2008.
And I think one of the things that drove that was a dirt bike.
It was.
Right. In 2013.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have seen the some of the court documents related to that. Yes.
that, to my knowledge, that has ceased and has been has not done, been done in many times. But it says that someone who has the property could start one up.
There has been questions about that.
And we would be back in, and they would say, well, it doesn't say anything in the ordinance, we're just back to these other things that we.
The noise limits. Yes. And is it a reasonable noise for a business that's operating? It doesn't matter if it's a go-kart cart or a jackhammer. It doesn't matter if it's a quarry or an airport. If it's a business, is it a reasonable hour for that business to be operating?
I remember that went on.
That's the qualitative piece.
Yeah.
And then
great hue and cry over that, isn't it?
Right.
In the county, yeah.
So that is one reason it was struck out, because it was specific to a type of something. And looking at content neutrality, if you're prohibiting this, why aren't you prohibiting other loud things, such as the wood chipper?
And those don't run yeah. constantly either, but you know that. They,
right.
They're intermittent. They just
when it's being done and how long it's being done enters into this.
It does.
And see, there's another thing, too. There's recreational aspect,
mm-hmm.
and then there's, for example, running a chipper after a tremendous storm comes through this county. I mean, that is a
like
big
it
difference.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. recreational.
But if you have a business where you have a track on your property that allows people from Asheville and Hendersonville and Brevard and Lake Topsaway to come and freely ride their ATVs, it's your business.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're making money. Is that, when you think of content neutrality, can you say that's a prohibited?
Why did we strike this before?
It was struck because it's calling out a specific
business or
land use.
Yeah, land use.
It is calling out a specific land use. If this specific land use is violating the noise ordinance and it's unreasonable, then it can be a violation to the noise ordinance no matter if it's specifically called out. No matter what it's, yeah, no matter what the business or, yeah.
I'm not sure if we should be in the business of trying to regulate land use to the point. I mean, for example, the racetrack up at Rosamond. But the thing about it is, I mean, I was not, you know, I don't think the racetrack was the thing to put in. They actually got into a lot of trouble for grading for erosion control issues where there was a lot of sediment went into the Frenchboro River. That's one of the things they got in trouble with DEQ about.
Right.
And then the county came in with the sheriff's department with the complaints of the people on Whitmire Road complaining about the sound and Hannah Ford Road and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If we if we don't have this in there, then we're essentially saying anybody can do anything with the land if they want. But then, if it becomes a complaint issue, then we have to go back to the previous sections here to see if it's a violation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to think that we're regulating what a person can do with their land.
Right.
I guess we're not tying it to a track. I mean, in this language, we're not saying you can't have a track. We're saying if someone is out there spinning wheels all night, what we're saying, if some kid is, let's say they have a long driveway, and they're just spinning, they're just laying rubber all night with their Mustang, all night long. You call the cops, and they're like, that's totally legal. We're saying it's totally legal, because we took it out. Right?
But is it making a noise that is above 65 decibels during the night, or 75 decibels during the day?
Violation.
It is.
Then it's a violation.
But we also are saying that's not any
prohibited noise?
That's not a prohibited noise, and it's not a...
Well,
we have these exempted noises, and
that's why I wanted you guys to discuss it.
And see, this, we're looking at all kinds of business here, but we're being more specific about some businesses than others.
Right.
Because somebody could say, I'm going to open up my mountainside and let anybody ride an ATV here on Sunday afternoons if wants to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back in the same situation we were with the track.
Yep.
So now I'm going to wonder that maybe that ought not to have been struck out.
That's why I asked you guys to review it.
My way of thinking, if somebody started another track and the neighbors complained and the sheriff's department went out there, under this ordinance, they could take decibel readings at the property line, and if it exceeds what we set up, that's a violation of the ordinance. Am I right? So we really don't need this in there.
But what we do need is that piece that Chief Harris said, that the list of prohibited acts is not inclusive.
Yeah.
And can provide other sources of noise.
That's probably like that.
But, it wasn't stated in that ordinance. I think if we want that, we should state it in that ordinance.
Yes. The following list is not inclusive. And
yeah.
Other sources.
Now, we're still striking out 444, right? And we're writing something else that could probably cover other things, maybe prohibited,
which is what you were writing there.
Right.
That's what you're writing, right?
I
like that approach, because then if someone does open an ATV park on their land and no one complains about it, it's good for them.
But if you're going to do that as a business, don't you have to get a permit for that or what?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... You would have to...
Not from our office, because we have no zoning.
But if they disturb more than...
But if you're building...
But if they disturb more than an acre of land, they have to get a permit from NCDEQ. If they build a structure associated with it, they have to get a building permit.
If they have to
adjust
the terrain in the floodplain, they have to get an
override
certificate.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, there are basic code requirements you're going to have.
Right.
So if you have a group of people, you have to permit.
So that way, what Joy was writing down is kind of generalized. That allows something to be done without being in the specific to the business.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm going to be a stranger.
How do you see your notes on this one?
I was just thinking about it in terms of a preliminary type thing. If you're going to you know, you come and say, I'm going to start an ATV track out here, somebody should say, well, you know, there's a noise ordinance.
I'm sure they would know that themselves.
I would not be sure of that at all.
Not some of the good old
guys. No.
I hate to say it that way.
No, it's fact.
So, George, does that mean we still need 4.5?
Was struck because of Kimsey's concern of knowingly permitting an occurrence to occur if we have a permit process. So we can't have a permit process and also prohibit the knowing that it's going to be a violation. You see?
You kind of talk yourself in a circle.
Right. We can't have 4.5 if we have a permit procedure. Because we are knowingly allowing applicants to come get a permit to violate the noise ordinance once a year on a single parcel of land.
So we need to get rid of that one too.
So this one has to go.
Although there are specific permits that they could get, such as holidays like Memorial Day, Fourth of July, stuff like that.
Through having a permit procedure, they can. Yes.
And they're replacing 4.4 with something you wrote.
The following list of prohibited noises is not all inclusive, and other sources of unreasonable, loud, and disturbing noise are subject to this ordinance.
Why is it the following?
Because it's the introduction of prohibited noises. The following list of prohibited noises.
No, it's above.
It's going to be above. It's going to be above 4.1.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's the following. Perfect. Sorry, Kimsey.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes.
I guess no.
Right. Okay. I like to work on that.
You know, because we still have a responsibility to allow people to use their land for which they bought and paid taxes on. Within a reasonable manner. Because it's their land.
I was under the impression, telling me, that 4.5 would apply to, say, the owner of land that's being used for these purposes that are prohibited and knowingly allowing that to happen. Were we talking about off-site owner of that property that's being used?
Okay.
Was that... I thought that's what that was referring to.
Then let's clarify it so it is.
Is that what it was referring to?
I don't know.
How did you interpret 4.5?
You're thinking that if a landowner allows a good old boy to come in and grade his area to run UTVs...
Yeah, he's leasing the property.
Because I read it to be anyone. So a property owner is going to allow the symphony to hold a fundraiser on their property. They are knowingly allowing the symphony, and so we could have this, but put a section that says unless a permit is applied for and granted.
Okay.
So keep. How do we want to word it? Unless a permit is applied for and granted. Knowingly permitting the occurrence or emanation of any of the foregoing specifically enumerated violations of this ordinance on property owned, possessed, or used in whole or in part by any person or entity shall be a violation of this ordinance unless a permit is applied for and granted.
And that gives the RDO a little bit to hang his hat on when
yeah.
they go out.
Yeah.
Now the application stuff, like Steve was talking about, that's not going to change much. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
You all wanted to come back to it after there was, so
yeah.
We can end it here, and you can read it over the month and see if anything changed, or we can take a moment to read it in light of the decibel limits. How would you like to proceed?
It's fresh in our minds. What do you think? Just go ahead. Go ahead with the next.
Well, even violations, penalties, and enforcement's not going to change. I mean, that's just rote material there. I mean, that's straight up.
That's what I was fixing to ask. What does the fact that we now settled on those have to do with procedures and whatnot?
That's my question.
It may not.
Theoretically, we're almost done then.
Okay.
I think we're almost done. I think we just kind of say we're done. And will you send out a
yes.
new total package?
Yes.
All right. I appreciate that.
A new total package.
I hope I have it.
So all this can go out now? I can.
Yes. All right.
What are we
going to
do next month, guys?
Oh, don't worry, we'll find something.
We'll be.
You'll have it shredded before 9 p.m. because the shredder is 70 decibels.
This is any place yet. We can still have time.
Yeah, but it has to be.
We're going to have to take a call now because it's already past 9.
All right,
do you want to move on? Okay. Small area plan update. Oh, no business.
So the Board of Commissioners re-advertised that they were accepting applications for the Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan in the hopes of getting additional applications. They did receive additional applications. To my knowledge, it is not on the upcoming agenda, which is pretty full and focused on budget. So the county commissioners may choose to wait until after the budget is passed before beginning the small area planning process for Cedar Mountain.
Oh, wow.
They were also somewhat distressed by the fact that people that lived outside of the Cedar Mountain community had applied to mm-hmm. be on that committee. And I know from just talking to some of the local folks out there, they didn't like that.
I'm sure they didn't.
No,
they didn't like the when they responded to the questionnaire when they were
yes.
living outside.
No. You ain't come around here.
So that is my update.
Okay. Okay, next.
On that.
New business, annual report.
So according to the bylaws of the planning board, you are to provide the county commissioners with an annual report. And historically, that has been a monthly outline of what you discussed. So the number of subdivisions, the ordinance that you reviewed, the draft bicycle plan, those are items that are in the draft annual report. That draft annual report comes with a memo from the chair. And so I would suggest that in the consideration of time that I electronically send out this draft of the annual report and let you guys have a couple of weeks to look it over and send any edits or questions that you have. At the end of 2 weeks, I'll print it out for Sandy, your newly elected chair, to sign, and it will be sent on to the Board of Commissioners. If you all have any issue with that, please let me know.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Now, the commissioners get our minutes from every meeting, don't they?
They have the ability to get the minutes from any of their advisory committee meetings.
And they get it online, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So in 2 weeks, then, if none of us has heartburn, Sandy will sign it and send it on.
Yes, and I anticipate edits to the memo.
Okay.
So that it is yours.
Okay. All right, guys, you hear that?
So that way the commissioners will come down on you, Sandy.
Okay, so you'll have that to us?
I'll have that to you tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so if I have any questions, I can give you a call?
Yes.
Okay. Right. All right, next. Planning and community development update. Sorry.
The planning and community development department has been working with the Joint Historic Preservation Commission to celebrate Historic Preservation Month, which is the month of May. So this month is recognized by the National Park Service as Historic Preservation Month. And so Tuesday, the Joint Historic Preservation Commission held a joint meeting of history-related groups so that all of the groups that are involved in history, including the Cradle of Forestry, the Abandoned Cemetery Board, the Heart of Brevard, which is a Main Street historic program, all of them could know what was going on with the other groups.
Did the museum, too, get involved?
The Heritage Museum and the Historical Society were there, yep. Mm-hmm. And so it was an opportunity for them to meet and greet and have cookies and apple juice and coffee. And that took place earlier this week. They are also still active in the grant that they received to do the survey of African American heritage related resources, and that is moving forward. And the contractor will be meeting with people hopefully next week to start the interviews and the oral history gathering. Okay. From a transportation process, the second meeting of the Comprehensive Transportation Plan Working Group also took place on Tuesday. And so they looked at the modeling that NCDOT does to determine what the traffic, the average daily traffic is on the roads of Transylvania County, what the roads are designed to carry, what their carrying capacity is. And then they forecast what the traffic will be in 2045 to determine if the roads need to be improved. And so that is what the working group looked at on Tuesday to see were the models that NCDOT is using to model the and forecast the growth of the county accurate based on the ground living. And are there areas that need to be addressed, like DuPont? They receive so many visitors on an annual basis that are the average daily counts accurate? Or do they need to be taken in the middle of the summer on 4th of July or at another peak visitation time?
It varies so extremely with weather and season.
Right. And so there were a couple areas that were mentioned as potentially being low as far as counts go. But there are areas that are close to meeting their capacity right now. NC-280. The intersection of Wilson Road and Acosta, there on Old Hendersonville Highway. A section of 64 between Brevard and Rosman, where it goes down to two lanes. Mm-hmm. That is close to meeting the capacity of that road. So those were, and then Asheville Highway from the college out to the hospital drive. That is another section. That section is being addressed with access management, with a transportation project. But the others are not in in the process of being addressed, except for the intersection of Wilson Road. That's also currently being addressed.
Okay.
And so they're looking at where the roads are currently meeting capacity and where they will likely meet capacity, so that as they're looking far into the future, they can anticipate the transportation needs of the future population.
And our bicycle plan that we recommended to the commissioners will be a part of that.
It will likely be a part of that if the commissioners adopt the bicycle plan. So the commissioners received the bicycle plan at their meeting on the 22nd, I believe, of April. Following your recommendation, they received the plan. The consultant presented the plan. The commissioners' chambers were standing room only.
Wow.
Business owners stood up in support of the plan.
Yeah.
Lola's, Sycamore Cycles, the Hub. Some of the people that you saw spoke, including John DeTillo and Sam Salomon and the teacher that you heard.
Nick Pearl.
Mm-hmm. They stood up and shared their stories with the Board of Commissioners. But then there were some others that you did not hear, including Wes Dixon with Sycamore Cycles and Bruce, the owner of Lola's, standing up and sharing their personal experiences. The county commissioners asked that some change, that they work with staff, being the county manager, to address some concerns they had about language and responsibility. Because the county commissioners do not own roads, they are not able to maintain the roads. They can't purchase sweepers and sweep the debris off of the bicycle lanes. So they wanted some clarification in the plan on what the county commissioners could legally do. They also want to hold a public hearing to allow more public feedback to be had. And so they said that they're going to work on editing the plan, and then once there is a draft, they will schedule a public hearing. So it may also be after the budget.
It makes me feel good that we recommended that, because, you know, all those people stood before us and said, this is light industry coming into the county. Well, if it was standing room only in the commissioner's chambers, there's probably some merit to that. So I think we did the right thing.
Well, I would also note there wasn't a single person who spoke up against it. Not one. So
yeah.
That's also a powerful endorsement.
Right. True.
I seriously considered going to that meeting and being that single person, because I still have concerns about the safety on our roads. And I have a concern that vehicle operators, owners pay a number of taxes. The bicyclists pay nothing, and yet they demand full access to the roads because they're a vehicle. And as a sense of fairness, I think some way they need to contribute if we're going to put public money into providing a place for them to ride. That's my personal opinion. I decided not to do that because it would seem like I was pushing against this committee, and I'm not, but those are some personal problems that I have with the whole bicycling situation. And I don't think it's going to be hard to address that safety thing on an awful lot of our roads, because they are narrow, the right-of-way is narrow. It takes a lot of construction in order to get a bicycle lane on those roads. A lot of construction. Don't ask me what a lot is, because I don't know. But it will be a sizable amount of money involved, which of course comes out of all taxpayers, thing, and more than likely impacts vehicle owners and operators, because that's where most of the money for roads comes from. But you think about a vehicle, you pay a sales tax when you buy it, some kind of tax.
They pay sales tax on bikes too.
Yeah. Well, a whole lot of difference between sales tax and a $20,000 car. But listen,
some of those bikes are $20,000 bikes.
Even more.
There's no yearly fees of any kind. There's maybe some personal property tax, I don't know. There's no income from fuel or other facilities that are necessary for your cars. I have a little bit of a problem with that. I really do. I don't think it's totally fair, and I think it needs to be. I think if bicyclists want the roads, and I don't have any problem with driving on the roads, but if we're going to spend copious sums of money to provide for them, they ought to some way participate in the cost, and I don't see that they do now.
How much do you think they bring in every year just to buy something?
They have anything to do with the roads and paying for them and that sort of thing. And I...
When they come in here, they buy food, they stay in hotels, and so on and so forth, and they pay taxes on that too. So they're bringing money in here. It's not like they're freeloading off the road.
Well, they are.
Well, they're not.
They are, because those taxes you're talking about don't go into road maintenance.
You're talking about...
We don't spend any money on road maintenance when you're on the road.
True.
We do. Every time we buy gas, or
the county does
registration fees or any of that kind of stuff.
The county doesn't spend money on the road. We don't own the road.
It still comes out of our pockets.
The county gets the money to buy bicycles.
It doesn't make any difference.
That's fuzzy math. I'm sorry, it's fuzzy math.
Whether the county, the state, or the federal government builds the roads, guess where the money comes from?
Yeah, and when you get the Coosa Trail, see how much money comes in. You won't complain about that money, I guarantee you that.
So that's my feeling. And like I say, I decided not to go and express that. But I do have that concern. And the other thing is the safety. I am constantly amazed we don't have people. There was a letter in the paper this week.
I know, I saw it. Yeah. But you know, the way I see it, Kimsey, I see what you're saying. Without the plan,
we wouldn't.
The safety issue would be addressed.
I understand that. So the reason why I finally voted for it is I think that by having the plan in place, it means that there's going to be consideration and plans included in future road work to take care of that.
In addition to the bicycle plan, the Board of Commissioners received an update on the watershed ordinance. The watershed ordinance is one of those ordinances that you spent time on last year, looking at it line by line. And you used the model ordinance that was available from the Division of Water Resources in considering. Mm-hmm. After holding the public hearing, the draft watershed ordinance was sent to the Environmental Management Commission for their review. And there were three items that were found that they had questions for. And so I presented to the Board of Commissioners on those three items. One was the definition of major variance. When the Planning Board looked at the ordinance, the definition for minor variance did not change. But you looked at major variance in comparison to the model ordinance, and you modified the definition. The EMC asked if the county wanted to take part in the high-density option, which would allow greater growth in the water supply watershed, but would require the county to take over operations and maintenance of stormwater control measures. The county staff is not currently up for that. We don't have the training to inspect stormwater control measures. And that the high density option was only mentioned in one place in the whole ordinance. And so there was no guidance for the citizen in reviewing the ordinance on what the high density option was. The one place it was mentioned was in the definition of minor variance. So the state staff that was working on behalf of the Environmental Management Commission asked, did we want to add it to the major variance? Based on the comments during the presentation, it will not be in the definition of major variance and most likely will come out of the definition of minor variance, so that there is consistency in definitions. The second place was in regards to the storage of toxic substances and hazardous materials. In the permit process, 5.6, you had a spill containment plan as part of the permit procedure. You prohibited the use, storage, and of toxic substances and hazardous materials in the critical area, that first half mile of the watershed. You can't have the toxic substances or hazardous materials because that's the most critical to protect from a water quality perspective. In section 8.1.5, there was a sentence struck during the revision of the ordinance. So I see that you're following along in it.
I don't have the final printout, but I mean, this was an extra for last printout.
But if 8.1.5, the use, storage, and manufacture of toxic and hazardous substances was prohibited in the balance of the watershed. And you struck unless a spill containment plan was on hand. I think that was an error looking at the land use that's in the watershed. I think it's important to allow for the storage of toxic substances if a spill containment plan is on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the tree farm that has been in operation since prior to the water supply watershed, they have to have a spill containment plan in effect for their use and storage of fertilizers. And I don't think it was your intent to eliminate that land use from being possible in the watershed. So I think that was an error by staff. And so that strikeout of unless a spill containment plan is in effect would be eliminated and it would revert back to what it is currently.
Okay.
The third area is that the procedure that for reporting to the Environmental Management Commission in the model ordinance said that revisions and variances would be submitted to the Environmental Management Commission once a year prior to January 1st. That's 17.5, I think, if you're following along.
Okay.
So the Environmental Management Commission staff does not want all of the variances and amendments that take place on a yearly basis. They only want it if they request it. Therefore, that section significantly changes, and if the Environmental Management Commission or the Division of Environmental Quality requests a copy, they shall be supplied with a copy of any amendments to the ordinance, any variances, and any inspections of stormwater control devices. And so the Board of Commissioners, based on that input from the staff of the Division of Environmental Quality, working on behalf of the Environmental Management Commission, said those three items could be significant. And so they're holding another public hearing. So I wanted you to be aware of what has transpired since you recommended that they consider amending the ordinance. Those three items could be considered minor because of the definition being a minor, the process being minor, and 8.1.5 reverting back to what it is now. Mm-hmm. However, the county commissioners, because there are changes, wanted to have citizens allowed to have another opportunity to provide input. So you will see it noticed in the paper that there will be a public hearing on the watershed ordinance, and that is why.
Now, in that particular watershed, knowing which one we're talking about, and knowing where the federal land is around it, there's not likely to be any significant changes in the foreseeable future.
No, you are correct.
And who knows what would end up happening to those private inholdings above Cadiz Creek right now.
But some of them are large.
Yeah.
There is a private inholding that's 700 acres. Over 700 acres. So if you think of a subdivision coming into a parcel that is that large, it could have an impact. Which is why we have a water supply watershed ordinance, but water supply watershed protection ordinance. So
okay.
About the outward bound property up through there.
There's a second one that's just about as large.
Wow. Yes. Is the hearing going to be sometime in the next month?
Yes.
It will be
the meeting notice was sent Monday morning, so it will be in the paper today. It will be the second meeting of May, the 28th.
Okay.
The 28th of May will be the public hearing for the watershed ordinance.
Last time there wasn't even anybody spoke, I don't think.
There was no,
they didn't. Okay.
So I believe the meeting is usually that fourth Monday, but because it's Memorial Day, they modified it to be the 28th.
It'll be the next morning. Okay.
I think it's
evening.
The evening meeting, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Is that a Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Their
because of Memorial Day. I believe so. Because the notice that we sent out, I'm pretty sure, said the 28th, not the 22nd.
That makes sense.
And the second meeting of the month is the evening meeting.
It is. And they like to have public hearings at the second meeting because of the evening time.
Yeah.
That's why I don't anticipate the bike plan being before the second meeting of June or in July. So, the Calvert workforce housing development request for proposals is still out there. We can receive questions regarding the proposal until the 23rd of May, and we have received questions. And so there are developers who are interested.
Okay.
We still receive calls from citizens wondering why there's not a junk ordinance, and we let them know of the Community Appearance Initiative. That is a voluntary program that landowners can participate in if they would like help addressing junk on their property.
Okay, what is that again? I'm sorry.
The Community Appearance Initiative.
Okay.
I believe it was 2006. I may have the year wrong. But I believe it was 2006. There was a question about enacting a junk ordinance. And the county commissioners at the time decided that it was more important to have a voluntary program with that would focus on the primary corridors through the county.
Only.
That's because there was a limited amount of funding available to help the property owners. They wanted to focus on those most visible areas as visitors and residents are driving on the primary corridors.
Yeah, there was some cost share available.
Yes, there was. And so that is still active in small amounts. There is still a program available if property owners want to participate. There is no longer a volunteer group going out soliciting landowners or working with landowners, but if landowners call staff, they are able to voluntarily participate in that if their site and their situation matches the intent of the Community Appearance Initiative.
Doesn't building and inspections also work in that area too?
Environmental health does. If there are significant concerns about the contamination and carrying of potential contaminants from one property to another, then environmental health can get involved.
That gym and needle and that crowd, okay.
So. Anything else? That's all I can think of as well.
Okay, do we have any other new business anybody wants to discuss? I have one thing I wanted to discuss, the fact that we're down two members of our committee board, and I don't see anything coming up where the county commissioners, I mean, I know we've had applicants, but they're not acting on it. Now we have two vacancies.
I have asked if there is room on the next agenda.
Okay.
For planning board appointments. And it is up to the Board of Commissioners chair to determine if there's room on the agenda.
Okay.
I also reached out to all of them and just said, hey, we need people.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did.
I think if we know people who would be appropriate on this committee, we should encourage them to put in an application.
Yeah.
The application deadline was the 1st of May.
Yeah.
However, when people are interested, their applications are held on file for 2 years. And they could be considered if the agenda memo has not gone out yet. So even if it's after the 1st of May, it may, if it's before the agenda where the appointments are being considered, it could be in the running for consideration.
I'm not clear whether we have to have 7 members or not.
We have to have 4 for any action to be taken.
No, I mean, on the committee, can we operate with 5 as we are tonight?
The bylaws say you have to have 4 members present to take action. It doesn't. So it's a 7-member board, but theoretically you could. Without changing, you could leave those vacancies open, but it would be hard to have a quorum on certain meeting nights.
Well, it's not that we haven't tried to get people, I don't think. It's just that nobody's stepping up, right?
They have quite a few applications.
They do have some applications.
Yeah.
They do.
All right, since we have no public left, can I have a motion to adjourn? Are we done?
What, public comment?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he has something to say.
Yeah. No, I just for the record want to say I'm just really disappointed that Joy didn't get the director job. I think they missed the mark there by not promoting
her. Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to go on record saying I think that's very disappointing, and I don't know if we discussed putting in a plug for you at one board meeting, and I don't know if Matt did that or not. But I just want that on the record. I think that's a really bad call. And
I know.
I couldn't agree with that. I feel bad for you.
Earlier on, I spoke to some of the county commissioners about it. And of course, was diplomatically advised that the commissioners, you know, do not appoint that position. It was the county manager.
Mm-hmm.
But that this particular commissioner would make sure that my comments got to Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
I think to bring somebody new in that would have to learn the county and the way things go here would set us back tremendously.
Well, my understanding is they interviewed seven people and didn't hire anybody, which makes it even more troublesome as far as I'm concerned.
It makes you wonder what's going on.
Well, exactly. So.
So it's not like somebody beat you out. Nobody, well.
That makes no sense to me.
Unless they're not going to hire somebody.
Sure, man.
Crazy.
So they may be delaying it in order to get the general budget. Come the new fiscal year, they either have to hire somebody or not.
Yeah.
So
it's still good luck?
It is.
Okay.
Is it all right if I say what you said, that they reposted it and cut the salary?
Yeah. Oh, that is fact.
So that to me, whether intentionally or not, just sends a pretty negative signal about their perception of what goes on over here. I just think it's really disappointing, and that's the strongest use, the strongest word I will use in this paper.
It makes company.
Yeah.
So what did they weigh? What was the salary? The revised salary range.
From recollection, it may not be exactly accurate, but when they first posted it in January, it was 61 to 91. Now it's 61 to 78. And they did not specify that that's the hiring range. That was the salary range.
See, when you have good people, you're going to keep good people.
Absolutely.
Pay them what they're worth.
Hire them whenever possible.
And then they wonder why in the hell people leave the county. I have to have their job.
I'm really frustrated by that.
Yeah. Joy, where are we on that cell tower? Have they not started that yet?
I have not received a NEPA document from them. So I have heard from the applicant that the FCC prohibited cell companies from paying tribes to do environmental review, so they could no longer pay. This is hearsay. I have not seen this documented. But that is what the applicant told me, and so they were waiting because the tribe review of the NEPA document, the tribes review it for the environmental review aspect of archaeological and historical resources attributed to the tribes. I have not received a NEPA document.
Yeah, and we supported that, and we were told that as quick as they got all the ducks in a row, this tower would be up by spring. Here it is early summer, and they hadn't even broke ground on it. Makes me wonder now about whether we were sold a bill of goods or not. I trusted what that man said, sitting right there. We're going to build this tower. Well, cell tower,
up on Ridge Mountain.
Yeah.
Well, and along that line, I just learned that one of our recommendations was that, if you recall, Don't say it?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I yield back the balance of my time.
I have talked to people up in Cedar Mountain, though, and they're thrilled with their improved cell service from the first tower, the Verizon Tower. Yeah.
From the Verizon Tower?
Verizon Tower. Good. Has to be. Yeah.
All right.
So we might get the U.S. Cellular Tower anytime soon, or we might not.
Where's it?
I think on the next presentation and all that, I'm going to be more careful.
You can advise staff not to accept or present an application to you until there's a NEPA document. Previously, the NEPA documents were received within weeks of your decision.
Okay.
This is the first time where a NEPA document has not been received within 3 or 4 weeks. It's been months.
But isn't there a time limit on approvals that the work has to be begun and completed within a specified time frame? Or
once a permit is issued. Yes.
Which it hasn't been issued yet.
No, because...
Oh, so once it's been issued.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Seth.
Sandy, the last thing I've got is still this board is still one of the best. Because just tonight, on this noise ordinance, the way everything was discussed and just common sense, logical decisions, it's a pleasure just to see people coming together, thinking through a process and coming up with the best that we can. I'm just proud of this board.
Yeah. I can only echo that. Obviously, Steve and I don't agree on something. But that doesn't mean that we can't work together. And without that, we put out our board.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. And whatnot. I've been served on a lot of boards, and the only board that I can say is equal to this one is I served on a subcommittee in Florida. We got the Sawgrass Expressway built in Broward County. And that committee was like this one. We didn't agree. We thought some of it was, but we came together. We had to deal with the county commissioners. We had to deal with the state.
Yeah.
And we got it built. Yeah.
Well, I have philosophy in the Air Force. I told all my folks always that when two people agree on everything, only one's doing the thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. The other side of the coin is if people don't disagree, that means that you don't have the interest of this board and this county at heart.
And I would say, when we think about people, we might want to come on the board. We need to keep that in mind.
We don't have arguments across the table. I only know what I saw the past, before I came on. So it was almost, that was 3 years ago almost, so don't see all that. And we do put our heads together. I love it. And I just wanted to say that I thank you for the confidence you're putting in me, and I hope that I can do a good job as your chair. I'll do the best I can.
Congratulations.
For Sympathy.
They worked long and hard for this position. Yeah.
I hope you enjoy it.
And I hope I have the same collegiality when I get to D.C.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, is there anything else you want to discuss?
You have the definition of Sympathy. You can take a
look at this.
I'd make a move to adjourn.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Power down. Yes.